Good morning. Welcome back to Sunday Morning Bible Study here at Mount Root Baptist Church. Today we're going to conclude our series on developing a theology of money and resources that God's entrusted to us to be a part of His work here in the world of bringing His kingdom to come more fully on earth even as it is in heaven. And so we're going to try to bring everything that we've been talking about together over the last 9 weeks together here in this 10th week together. So I invite you to pray with me as we prepare our hearts to study together. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for the gift of Christ and your Holy Spirit, and even our local church that you've called us to be a part of joining you in your work in the world to make Christ known in word and in deed. We pray that you would be gracious to us in these moments, that we would have a better understanding of what you've called us to do and to be as it relates to the resources you've entrusted to us, that our hearts might be moved by the power of your Holy Spirit, that our giving would be an act of grace that would bring you glory and ultimately bring us joy. We offer this prayer in Christ's name. Amen. The verse I want to read to you is from Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. It says, "As we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially those who are of the household of faith." Now, if you think back to where we started in the book of Genesis and the idea that God is this gracious creator who has given us everything for our enjoyment and for the calling that He's given us to glorify His name on this earth, we really think back to Abraham and the call that God gave him, and He said, "I'm going to bless you so that you might be a blessing to the nations." The idea that if we think about this overarching theology, really that idea that God blessed Abraham so that he would be a blessing to the nations is one that we can draw from. And James Petty in his book says that ultimately, if we sum up our theology of money, it's that God's called us as His people to live in order to give. That God's called us to be givers as we're created and recreated more and more into the image of Christ. We understand that God's called us to lay our lives down in every aspect so that others might be built up and might know the abundant life that God would have them to know in Christ. So, working from that overarching principle that God's called us to live in order to give and be a source of His blessing to the nations, we want to sum up what we've been talking about in just four points that hopefully will be easy for us to walk away from as we consider theology of giving. And the first one is that God's call comes with God's provision. God's call comes with God's provision. So if we think about our ministry, the collective mission that God's given us here at Mount Root Baptist Church, to make disciples who are making disciples, to make the gospel known in word and in deed, the first thing that we've got to acknowledge is that if we are not successful in the mission that God's given us, it will not be because we don't have the resources to carry out that mission. I just want to say that again. If we're not successful in living into God's call in our life, it will not be because God did not give us or entrust us with the resources necessary for the mission. And if I look at my own life, as I think about all the people that God has called into the fellowship here at Mount Root Baptist Church through faith in Christ, I think we would have to acknowledge that God's given us the resources that are necessary. He wouldn't call us to go make disciples of all nations without also giving us the tools and resources that we need to fulfill that mission. And the question that you and I need to wrestle with most fully is whether or not we are being as free and generous with the resources that God's given us to fulfill that mission. Or are we using it all for ourselves rather than leveraging it for God's kingdom? And I think about my own life. I know that God has given me abundant resources to meet the needs of my family and then to also look out and be a part of His gospel call in my life. And the question that I've got to wrestle with in my heart is whether or not I have appropriate understanding of those resources so that I leverage them for eternal things rather than wasting them on just things as it relates to me in my own selfish heart or the greedy desires that I have. So let's live into God's future acknowledging that God's given us everything that we need, that we can accomplish His task and His call if only we will be generous and live with grace, like we say is our aspirational statement, to live with grace and generosity. The second thing that he makes in the book here in the closing chapter, second point, is that biblical generosity is motivated by grace. Biblical generosity is motivated by grace. And we saw this so clearly in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9. But if we think back to the Old Testament and the idea of giving tithes and offerings, there was this legislation in place that was meant to help the people develop generous hearts to meet the needs of others in their community. And you might remember us talking about that year of Jubilee that they never lived into, where they would return over the land that they owned to those who originally had it, so that everybody might reset and have an opportunity to use what God's gifted them for their needs and for the flourishing of the community. So they didn't live into the law that God had given them because of the hard-heartedness and the self-centeredness that was a part of who they were. And so now you and I, as we move into the Spirit, the age of the Spirit, that God's Holy Spirit lives and works and moves in us so that we might see what He's done for us in Christ, and then our hearts would be motivated to use what He's entrusted to us because of the grace that is changing us to be more and more like Christ. See, our temptation is to try to legislate everything. And all of us want a new law to live into as it relates to financial stewardship. And while it's great for us to live into and aspire to using a tenth of all that God's entrusted to us for the ministries and the flourishing of the local church, an even higher and more faithful New Testament aspiration would be to live in step with the Holy Spirit at work in us, so that we see that everything that we have, the tithes and the offerings that we give to the local church, and that which is still kind of in our possession, that every part of it belongs to the Lord. And we want to respond to His gracious work toward us in Christ with a grace and a generosity that is in keeping with the grace and generosity that He has shown us. And it was really clear in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, 2 Corinthians 8, 7, "But as you excel in everything, in faith and speech and knowledge, in all earnestness and in our love for you, see that you excel in this act of grace also." So this giving to this collection for the poor saints in Jerusalem was an act of grace, God's Holy Spirit changing them so that they would be not takers, but that they would be stewards and givers to meet the needs of others. 2 Corinthians 8, 19, "And not only that, but He has been appointed by the churches to travel with us as we carry out this act of grace that is being ministered by us for the glory of the Lord Himself and to show our goodwill." So giving ultimately is not something in the New Testament, here in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 especially, that we force and twist arms, but it is a thing that God does in His people as His Spirit moves in us to make us generous, to make us joyful givers to those who sow bountifully so that we might also reap a harvest bountifully. The third point at the end is that biblical generosity reflects the mindset of the communion of the saints. Biblical generosity reflects the mindset of the communion of the saints. You hopefully remember that language from the book of Acts, where we talked about in the age of the Spirit, and the church was first being established, that everyone dedicated themselves to public worship, to the breaking of the bread and prayers, and also to stewarding what God had entrusted to them for the building up of others in the life of the local church. And I think about that as I think about the ministry plan or the budget here at Mountain Brook Baptist Church. That as God moves in our hearts, that we understand more fully the grace of God shown to us in Jesus Christ, we use our resources and we leverage them collectively as we give our tithes and offerings to support the ministry of the local church, so that each person in our church might be able to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, So if you're an older person in our church, you give of your tithes and offerings, and a portion of that goes to support our children's ministry and Vacation Bible School and discipleship opportunities for them. And if you're a younger family and you give to the ministry plan of our church, a portion of that goes to meet the needs of the older saints in our congregation to provide ministry opportunities for them. And we have this collective understanding that it's not just about me and my desires and my wants or my needs, but I'm leveraging what God's entrusted to me to build up the communion of the saints here at Mountain Brook Baptist Church. And my heart is not just for me, but my heart is for every person that God calls to be a part of this local fellowship through faith in Christ. And then, as our ministry is built up, and as disciples are made here, and we grow more into Christian maturity, our hearts are turned even more outward. And so when you give to support what we're doing here at Mountain Brook Baptist, it meets needs and it helps to make discipleship and ministry possible here. And then even to the ends of the earth, we support what God's doing around the world to build up the local church in places that you and I will probably never personally go. So one of the things that we've done in worship recently to help remind us of the difference that we're making through the giving of our tithes and offerings to this larger church, this communion of saints around the world, is that we're highlighting these ministry partners and these mission partners that are doing ministry in hard places like the 1040 window, in places of poverty and great need in Dominican Republic. We could go on and on here in the city of Birmingham to all the lives that are being impacted and touched that you and I may never personally hear about or know. But there's this great joy that comes from knowing that we are using what God's entrusted to us to equip the saints for the work of ministry, many of whom are doing the work all around the globe. So thinking about that what God's entrusted to us is not just for us, but it's for others who are a part of this local fellowship of faith, others in our community that we hope to reach with the good news of the gospel, others across our city, and even to the ends of the earth. And then the final principle that he brings up here, the fourth principle that he brings up at the end of the book, is that on the last day we shall receive as we gave. When you think about your own discipleship, you think about how it is that you're stewarding the resources that God's entrusted to you. A really good question to ask yourself is, if I receive from others in the same way that I'm giving, would I receive generously? And that's a question that I want to live into even more in my own heart, so that God would free me up from just being about myself, but to be about using what He's entrusted to me for the building up of His kingdom and for the blessing of others in His name. So pray that you'll join me in praying for our church, that we would be more and more faithful to steward what God's entrusted to us, acknowledging that He's given us everything that we need to accomplish the task of ministry that He's called us to here in Mountain Brook, in the greater Birmingham area, and even to the ends of the earth. But as our hearts are transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit, we understand to more greater depths the good news of the gospel, so that we're transformed to be gracious like God is gracious to us, that He would use us to bless the communion of saints here in our church and even to the ends of the earth, so that ultimately our heart's desire is that God would be glorified in us and we would find deep joy in living into the call that He's placed upon our lives. I invite you to pray with me. God, we pray that we would be faithful to acknowledge that You have blessed us with everything that we need to fulfill the mission that You've called us to make disciples of Jesus Christ, who then have a heart to make disciples of others. I pray that You would show us in our hearts how we are hoarding, how everything at times, I know personally, is about me, rather than lifting my eyes up to see others and how I can be a part of meeting their needs, that You would give us in Mountain Brook Baptist Church this act of Your grace and mercy, so that we would become more faithful stewards of all that You've entrusted to us, that we might look at other church members, that we might look at others in our community, that we might look at others around the world who belong to your church as this worldwide communion of saints, and our heart is not just for ourselves, but it's to build them up so that you might ultimately be glorified and honored in and through us. We offer this prayer in Christ's name. Amen.